Luke 5:1. Okay. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. That's the Sea of Galilee. Okay. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Are y'all there? Okay. So it's morning. They've been fishing all night, and now they're cleaning up everything. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and that's Peter. And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So Jesus needs a place, a platform to preach from. He needs a podium. He needs somewhere to back off because all the people are up on him. And so they push him out a little bit, and he's sitting out there on the little ship, and he's preaching. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, saying unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. So they toiled all night. Imagine that. And have taken nothing, so they didn't catch anything. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Okay? Now, so the time to fish is night. And most of the time, that's a good time to fish. I know some of y'all fish in the early morning, and some people go out in the middle of the day. I don't get that, but my papa took us at nighttime. We fished at nighttime. So these guys were out there fishing. They fished in the nighttime. This is what they did for a living. Verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Okay? And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. So Jesus told them to go out there. He's used their boat now. They've sown a seed. And now he tells them to launch out into the deep. Because you're going to catch something now. Can't outgive God. So they launch out there, and they get, now Peter, Jesus said, cast out your nets. Right. Peter cast out one net because he was too tired and he didn't want to, he didn't believe anything would happen. So he throws out one net. It gets totally full, about to the point of breaking. He has to get the partners to come over and help him. Amen. And then he gets up there with all that fish he caught, that revenue. Think if he would have passed out all, gotten out all the nets. He'd had enough money for years. Wow. Maybe. Could have been for a long time. Okay, so they went. They caught nothing. Jesus uses their ship. Then he says, launch out into deep. Throw out some nets. Catch a haul. They're going to catch a lot of fish. That's what drought means there. The Greeks means haul. And so Peter's tired. He does it at Jesus' word. He calls him master. Maybe at that point in life, he's kind of acting a little, you know, religious. Rabbi, at your word, we will cast, you know, maybe. I'm trying to get myself in the picture and wonder, you know, he's like, I'll go home. Now I've sat through this teaching. I'm tired, and he wants me to fish again. So, you know, he had to repent, though. He ends up falling down on his knees and going, look what you did here. So let's just look at some things here. Number one, things can change really fast when Jesus gets in your boat.
Oh, that's good.
Really fast. Number two, things change when you use or give yourself to the ministry. Because that's what they did. Number three, when Rhema word comes, it doesn't matter whether it's day or night, right or wrong season, something is going to happen if you obey. You can change time. You can change season. You can bring things. You can get things to happen in a different season if you're willing to be obedient. You've got the faith to do it. Amen. So this is a great offering word. And y'all heard it as an offering word, I'm sure, many times. But anyway, they're cleaning up their nets, and more than one. Jesus uses the boat, as I said. So listen, the word himself got into the boat.
Wow.
The word himself. Jesus is the word. He got into the boat. He's getting into the very thing that brings their prosperity.
Oh, wow.
Come on. Okay. And he's using it. The very thing, I just got a charge up right there. The very thing they're doing in their livelihood, he got in the middle of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
amen.
So good.
You got it, didn't you? You went, oh, Can I use that? He said, can I use that business you've got there?
Come on.
Do you see? So, I mean, this is their soil. Like a farmer's got soil to plant in, they've got a boat to go fishing in. It's like, you know, whatever you have that does the job, he's getting into it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Just want you to think about it for a minute. So they're not farmers, they're fishermen, so the boat and the sea, that's their harvest. To get a harvest, then they have to launch out into the deep, and they have to cast their nets, and they have to pull a harvest of fish in. They have to pull it in.
Right.
They sowed the seed, the word got into it. He tells them then what to do. I hope I'm talking to somebody. He tells them then what to do. They go out there, and they could have had even had a better harvest, except that they just kind of missed it on that. But that's okay. They did better later. They turned into fishers of men. So, I was actually going to go another way tonight. But I always ask the Lord what to do. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, what do you want to talk about? He said, fish. I was like, okay, fish. We're going to talk about fish. Trying to do like that. No, we're going to talk about fish. And so, you know, you start thinking about, you're starting to think with the Holy Ghost what he's thinking about. As I think about fish, what I know about them, you know, fish in the mouth. Jesus says, cooking the fish, this story. You start thinking about all the fish stories. And so this one, I was just walking through a room there, and he said, what do you think Jesus was teaching when he was in that boat? And I went, oh, what was he teaching? Because I don't remember right now. I've been doing this for a long time, but I don't remember what he was teaching. Did the Bible say what he was teaching? I'm trying to remember what he was teaching when he was in that boat, making a seed, and they're about to get a harvest. What's Jesus talking about? And then the Lord led me to Matthew 13:1, and it said, the same day when Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables. Behold, a sower went forth to sow a seed. He preached on Mark 4, Matthew 13, Luke 8, he's preaching on that. He's preaching on the sower sowed the word. The sower sowed the seed. How the kingdom of God works. He's actually preaching on what he's doing. Isn't that cool?
That is so cool.
I love the Holy Ghost. He's so smart. So he sat in the boat, and he taught seed time and harvest. And then he demonstrated how it worked. And so the whole picture of what he's doing is exactly what he's teaching. Sow the word into the boat. The boat launches. The boat casts nets and receives a harvest. Then here comes the measurement. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. He told them to cast 100-fold nets. They only cast 30-fold. They only cast one net. So there's your measurement right there. They just at that moment knew how to receive that much.
Yeah. Praise God.
Because harvest comes back to you in measurements according to what you can receive. 30's good, 60's better, and 100's way better. Because 100 is keep going, keep going, keep going. So what we see then is that Peter actually limited God. You know, over in 2 Kings 4, the widow who owed that debt, remember her? And Elisha shows up there and he says, go borrow the vessels and get as many as you can. Borrow not a few. And when you come into your house, shut the door. In other words, keep the naysayers out of your business when you're going to do something in faith. And pour out into those vessels and set aside all of those that are full. And, of course, she had success. She kept filling those vessels. The oil didn't run out. She paid off her debt. Her sons didn't have to go to the debtors. And she won. And she had an oil business.
Yeah.
You know, she was doing good. And so he left the amount up to her, though. Did you notice? Bar not a few, but he didn't say, go get 317. And Jesus said, cast the nets. They could have cast 14 nets. They had other people there with them. Am I talking to anybody? See, you can get out of the chokeholds. You can stop limiting God because he's more than enough. And he's going to help you in any situation. His anointing is more than enough to heal you. His anointing is more than enough to deliver you. His love is more than enough to get you through what you need to get through.
That's right.
And his prosperity is way more than what you've even imagined so far.
Glory.
So we see there that, you know, Peter limited God. She did pretty good. Psalm 78:40 says, how oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not. I want y'all to remember that. I want to show you something. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. So they're not thinking about what he's already done. They limited the power of God. It's as if there was this boundary that they put up and wouldn't let God go past. Oh no, you already did this for us. You're probably not going to do anything else. That's kind of how it feels to me that they were doing. You know, why would he do anything further? He's already been good to us and, you know, we've really not been all that good. Maybe we don't deserve it. You know, that kind of talk. So there was a limit in their estimation to the power of God beyond which he could act. And in other words, his power was defined and bounded so that beyond a certain point, he couldn't aid them. God, Hesed, is trying to get through to you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He cares about you. He's not trying to tear you up or break you down. He's trying to get through to you with everything he's got. Hallelujah. So there was that limit. And they weren't getting past it. Now, here's something interesting that everybody in here knows. Everybody watching knows this. Psalm 23:5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runs over. Now, my cup runs over. Surely God knows when the cup is full, but it keeps pouring. And it keeps running over. But surely he knows it's full, but it keeps running over. Because God is a God of more than enough. He wants to be a God that's more than enough for you. In every area of your life. We're not just talking about finances here, church. We're talking about everything. Everything. How well you sleep. How good you do what you do. How much you love people. How much you're able to function in this world as a witness. All of these things. God wants your life to be outstanding. Besides that, there's a principle here involved. There's a law involved. It's called seed time and harvest. You give, It will be given to you. You can't stop it unless you say no. And people have, religion has, oh, no, 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 no. We're not that prosperity bunch. No, no, just enough for us four and no more. You selfish thing, you. There are a lot of people in the world besides us four and no more. Help them. If you have an overflow, you can help people. Yes. Get your mind off of yourself.
Yes.
That's why we want to be blessed.
Right.
This is something Abraham had to learn. Abraham was able to remove the chokehold by meditating on three things. I've mentioned these to you over and over in the last years. Number one, Genesis 15, 1 through 6, he got a word from God. Number two, Genesis 15, 8 through 18, he got covenant. God made a covenant with him, and God will not break the covenant.
That's right.
And then number three, Genesis 17, 1, that's when God showed up and said, hey, I'm God Almighty. And when you translate that back to Hebrew, he's saying, I'm El Shaddai. You know me as creator, but I am able to take what I created and change anything about it to bless you. So even though you're 100 years old, even though your wife's 100 years old, y'all can have a baby. Y'all can, Danny's up here going, you can have a baby dream.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right, okay. So, he was talking to them, y'all can have a baby. Okay, just make that clear. But see, God can do, as creator, he's great, he created all this, but he can do anything necessary. Like what he did for Joshua, the sun didn't move. Hey, how did those walls of Jericho really come down? Because some kind of sound frequency.
Yeah. Yep.
When they praised the Lord, a frequency, and I'm no way in any way New Age. Got it? I'm a Holy Ghost baptized Bible believing Christian. But vibration and frequency has everything to do with God. Sound has everything to do with God. Pull the precious out and throw the weird away. Now, so that's these sounds made the walls of Jericho come down.
Yeah.
El Shaddai can do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. And he can change our bodies. He can change our lives. He can change your finances. And El Shaddai can make all the fish in the Galilee run toward your boat.
Amen.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
You know, I just think all those fish, they say they were tilapia. I don't know. Might have been some good catfish or something in there. No, that's right. The Jews don't eat catfish. Okay. Erase that. Apologize, Lord. Those fish probably went, that's Jesus talking. I give my life. And they start swimming up there. I'm just having fun with you. But hey, they all showed up. El Shaddai made nature happen. He just was talking. He just said, yeah, y'all go do that. And all the fish went, come on.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nemo, all of them, they're coming.
Oh, yeah.
Little Mermaid stayed behind, I'm sure. I'm kidding. Praise the Lord. Apologize again, Lord. Okay, now. I hope I don't have to apologize anymore. I'm going to be good now. So, El Shaddai can change law if he wants to. Yeah, he can. Think of the people that have been translated. Think of, you know, you've heard the stories where people driving down the road and a wreck happened and they saw the vehicle go right through them. That's El Shaddai. Amen. People going down the road and they were late. Jesse Duplantis has a story. He was late. He was like 2 hours behind what he was supposed to be. All of a sudden he was where he was supposed to be. And we could tell story after story after story about that. All kinds of things that happened to us and we don't understand how it happened, but it's El Shaddai. Yeah. He's able to do it. How do we get that? How do we do that? Where'd that come from? Well, you know, there was a way. Yeah, just relax and get that God is good. He wants to bless and he's powerful. And don't put a chokehold on him. Well, what I want is $1 million. It could never happen. Are you kidding me? $1 million is the same as 500 to him. Some people right now are sweating over $500. Right now, they're sweating over $500. And yet there are people out right now bringing in millions. Why? No chokehold. Where are we going to get it? How are we going to do it? You know, I was born on this side of the tracks. I'm this. I'm that. I didn't learn. I didn't do this. You need to forget all that. You live with El Shaddai.
That's right.
Just learn to do what he does, and what he told you to do.
Right. Yep.
You got to learn to launch out into the deep. You got to learn to sow your seed and launch out into the deep and get your nets out and get your harvest.
Hey, so
this is turning out better than I thought. I got to move on here. Okay. So, Abraham, he just had a new revelation. And that's the same revelation we need to get. God is more than enough. So he got God's word. He believed in the covenant. And he knew El Shaddai. Now let's go back to Luke 5:1. He gave them the word. Then he acted in covenant. I used your ship, so now I'm going to do something for you, right? I will bless you with what is mine. That's what he's saying. Peter limited him. He used one net. Jesus told him to let down the nets. Then Jesus does the El Shaddai thing right there. Nature obeys him. Peter missed part of the overflow because he limited Jesus. He choked. But then he got revelation. Now we have his word, causes us to believe. We believe the El Shaddai stories. We've seen them. We've seen all that God do so many things, so many miracles. Jesus, we see all the miracles that Jesus did here. We've seen all the miracles that God has done in our life. Have you? I mean, all kinds of things God has done for us. You can't explain them, but he's done them. And it certainly helps to think about God, about the covenant, about the word, about him being El Shaddai. But there's just one more place I want us to go to before we close up here. And that's this, what will he do for you? Are you going to think this? What's he going to do for your life? Well, nothing's happened yet. What's he going to do for you? Are you going to just throw out a net? Are you going to throw out no nets? Are you not even going to let Jesus in the boat? What are you going to do? Church, there's something that I quoted you in a scripture that said they remembered not what he had done.
Yeah.
They didn't remember that he saved them from the death angel. He saved them from Egypt. He brought them out with all the stuff. None of them were messed up. They weren't walking down out in the desert like this. Grandma was cruising.
That's right.
She was walking. Everybody was good. God did that for them. The Bible said that they all walked out whole. But they forgot. They didn't remember. And so they limited God. Remember. Remember. Church, start remembering. Start remembering what God has already done for you. Think about it. Talk about it. What has he done for you? Just do it over and over again. What all has he, you know, I was thinking about when I need a healing, I go back and start thinking about what he healed me from. I had asthma all my life until I was 21 years old, and I was 8 months pregnant, and I had an asthma attack, and it was bad. And my pastor came over and laid hands on me and prayed for me, and asthma left me forever. And my child does not have it and never has. It left me. And I don't know if any of you have ever had asthma. It's very dangerous, and it's a misery to live in. Is gone. God just delivered me. Both of my knees, I blew them out. They said, hey, you're going to have surgery in both of your knees. I said, Jesus, you're going to heal me. I know you have healed me already. I went snow skiing. Got on the lift. You know, y'all feel it? Y'all feel it? Okay. Some of y'all do because you, yeah, okay. And so got up there. As soon as I went off the lift, the Lord said, I am your shepherd. And boom, both of my knees were healed. I skied down the mountain. That was it. God healed me. I can name you time after time after time after time. That sounds like a song. Anyway, I'm not going to sing it, but we can actually, think about these things, how God delivered us, what he's already done, how we made it through. He made us make it through, how he changed our lives. And every time you remember that, that's what David was doing all the time. Think about in the Bible when they'll come along and they'll preach the whole story. Who was it? Didn't Philip do it? Stephen. Stephen preached the whole thing. Brethren, he preaches the whole thing. He's going back and remembering. And then, of course, David did it. And there's others who did it. Go back and remember what God has done for you. Remember the good. Well, you know, Jesus has never done anything for me. Well, it's time for you to get rid of the chokehold and have your first experience so that you can remember that, and then you're going to get lots of good memories because God wants to do it.
Yeah. Glory. Yep.
Well, I don't know. I've just been broke all my life. Well, it's time not to be broke.
Yep.
Think about how he's blessed you financially. I think about all the favor I've gotten in my life. Living in a place where I could barely afford, and then I saw this house. We saw this house that was, it was a plantation house with a good neighbor.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, what if we could live there? What if we could live there? We're peeking in the windows and everything. It went a couple of weeks later, we moved in, and God took care of it. Yeah. Over and over. I have house anointings. I just have them. God will just get me in where, and I've done that for years, and wherever we need to go, just get into those houses. The favor of God. Think of all the times God has favored you. Think of all the times he's favored you. Oh, you, okay, yeah, I pick you. We had to move to Austin. I know y'all have heard the story. You're just going to have to hear it again. It's my turn to preach. I'm remembering. So we work for Victory Christian Center for Pastor Lee and Sue Boss, and so we needed to move up there to be close, to be on their staff, and so we're country girls. We didn't want to live in the city, and so we prayed, and we found 22 acres with a ranch house in the middle with a great swimming pool and a big old barbecue pit. And there were 50 people on that, looking at that piece of property when we went to look at it, and we ended up walking around with the real estate agents. And people were stuffing money in their pockets saying, I'll take this place. I'll take this. It was 3,500 square feet. It was a huge house. And that people were stuffing. We were just being friendly and talking to them. And so we leave, and I don't know why. Now, you all understand I don't play the lottery. But I kept saying this. I win the lottery. And I wasn't even thinking about that house. It just came up in my spirit. They called us the next day and they said, can you come up here? We want to talk to y'all. So we thought, well, I guess they're going to interview us and see if we can pay for it and all. So we go in and the owner of the company is a big dog in Austin. You would have known him back then. And, he walked up to us and said, well, y'all won the lottery.
You had what you said.
And we moved into the house.
Yep.
And we had said, Lord, I bind that house to us in the name of Jesus. Unless you tell me to let it go, I'm not letting it go. And so a few days later, we were in it. We were moved in it and we lived in it. And then we ended up moving over with Pastor Walt in Lockhart. And so we moved back to, what's the name of the town? Reedville, Texas. We moved back there again. And so that's down by San Marcos. And so here we are going through all of this again, and we end up living our lives, and we keep going to Austin, and they're on Stastny. We kept driving by there and the place was empty all the time, just empty all the time. And we're like, what is up with this? Nobody wants to buy that property. Drive by, drive back, drive by, drive back. And one day the Lord said, hey, you ever going to let go of that property? Oh, Lord, we release that property. A month later, here comes Lowe's, buys the property. It matters what you say. It matters what you claim. If you're holding on to something that you need to let go, remember to let go of it, because you have the power to do that. This is God's favor in your life. But time after time after time, we've gotten what we want because of the favor of God. I have never... I'm 9 years old, and I've never had to go to the bank to get a loan for a house. Every person owner financed, including this, which was paid off very quickly, every person has owner financed everything that I've ever had, just about, except pre-Holy Ghost days, you know. But God did it. How many things can you say you have? This is the summer of surprises. Launch out into the deep. You've sown seed. Launch out into the deep. Believe God. Believe God for something. Believe God for your healing. Believe God for your relationships. Believe God for people to come into the kingdom. Believe God for your dream vacation. For your dream car, for whatever. Well, you know, I don't know why God would want to give me a dream car. Oh, come on. Get off your religious wagon.
Really?
He wants you to look good because he wants to look good himself.
That's right.
Nobody wants to know a Jesus that's standing on the corner with a sign saying, give me $2 and I'll be happy.
Yeah. That's right.
Do well.
Yeah.